tragic story now. Check that label on your skirt or pair of slacks or shirt. Does it say made in Bangladesh? Well, rescue workers in Bangladesh are continuing to search for survivors in a collapsed building that was a factory home to workers making apparel sold all around the world, just outside the capital, Dhaka. It's the Rana Plaza building, located in an industrial suburb of Dhaka. Here's a dispatch from the BBC reporting on the rescue effort. This is reporter Andrew North.
Local volunteers joined in the desperate hunt for survivors.
My wife was working there, and I came here as soon as I could. I've looked everywhere, but I can't find any trace of her.
Scores of people were buried in what's become a coffin of concrete and metal. My husband is inside there, this woman cries, not knowing where to look.
BBC reporter Andrew North there at the site of the Rana Plaza building, which collapsed. It was home to a number of factories that made clothes for American and European consumers. At least 200 people have died. Others are believed still to be trapped inside. You could hear it there in that dispatch. As many as 3,100 people could have been in that building when it collapsed. Cracks appeared on the walls, and after workers were assured that there was no danger, the building concrete simply crumbled. Among the garment makers in the building, Phantom Apparels, Phantom Tack, Ether Tex, New Wave Style. Do you recognize any of those brands? New Wave Bottoms. They produced several million shirts, pants, and other garments each year. Edward Hertzman is founder and publisher of The Sourcing Journal, an apparel industry trade publication. Edward, welcome.
Thank you.
So what do you think a consumer needs to know about this building and, in general, the conditions of workers in Bangladesh?
I think this is a rather bold statement, but I think the problem that we're seeing right now really starts at the consumer level. If we look at last month's data, the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, we see that the price of clothing is continually being pushed down while all of the input costs, labor, raw materials, continue to go up. So we see in the past few months what happens when you take away a coupon, how the shoppers really are not going to the stores. So it's this pressure from the consumers that are putting tremendous pressure on the retailers, on the brands, to really push the factories and the manufacturers down in price. And I think that now with human rights and sustainability and fair trade all being mainstream media topics, we're going to see, unfortunately, more of these stories coming into the news in the next few months.
Is it possible for us to make something of a spreadsheet here in that we can take a map of the world, and as the pricing pressure downwardly on wholesale and retail prices of clothes, places like Walmart, and it's not confirmed that Walmart products were necessarily made in this particular building, but still there's a possibility. As that pressure, downward pressure increases, the number of workers in Bangladesh actually goes up. The growth in the garment industry in Bangladesh has been extraordinary. 4 million workers now in Bangladesh.
Yeah, I think Bangladesh has become a major player in the garment manufacturing world. I think it's the third largest now behind China and Vietnam. And as a country, if we look at its export, 80 to 90% of the exports are apparel. So the entire economy of Bangladesh is dependent upon the apparel and textile industry.
And this just happened. I mean, a decade ago, we would not be talking about made in Bangladesh.
No, this is becoming more and more a destination. One, Europe has been there for a while because of the GSP benefit. It's duty-free. But with the tremendous increase in cost in China, where the majority of the goods still are made, the labor there could be three times the cost of the labor in Bangladesh, you know. So we're seeing that retailers and brands have to find alternatives to China. And Bangladesh, with the large amount of workforce, is becoming a major player in the industry.
Is it the case that downward pressure on labor costs produces unsafe factory conditions? That's not necessarily a logical, you know, one implying the other.
No, I wouldn't say there's a direct correlation, but obviously the money has to come from somewhere. As the pressure to push down costs, I mean, if raw material costs continue to go up, although they're down from the 2008 historic highs, but they're still much higher in the past 12 months or so. The only really place to cut costs is in the factory overhead, and one of those input costs are labor. And unless the factories have the ability to upgrade their facilities and invest in
even more real estate. I mean, the question is this building overcrowded, 3,100 workers in a building of this size?
I've been going to Bangladesh for the past 10 years, about three or four times a year, and I have seen a improvement in the conditions there over the past 10 years. But anyone that goes there can say it's really – no words can truly describe it. It is so crowded. There is just no land. Buildings could pop up anywhere. And unfortunately, these factories can be placed anywhere.
Do companies, as a matter of policy, we have this story with Foxconn and Apple. Do companies monitor conditions at sourced factories in places like Bangladesh? Is there a policy to do that?
Absolutely. I think that any major retailer has compliance departments. You're seeing now more than ever that they're dispatching people to these countries. They just don't want to rely on a local representative to send in some paperwork. You know, in the past, it could just be a certification from a third-party auditor. Now they have offices or they have representatives from the U.S. traveling there, personally looking at the conditions, because we can see that the public backlash or the it could really hurt a brand if their goods are found in one of these factories. So there is much more pressure and much more due diligence being done by the retailers right now to protect everybody.
What's a consumer? I mean, we're not necessarily trying to guilt trip, consumers of low-cost garments, but what is a consumer to do if they're concerned about these conditions and the fact that a product that they purchased might have come from this precise facility?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question to answer. I think it's just what we've been trained as consumers is to wait for the sale or go to one of these fast fashion retailers or off-price retailers. And, you know, when it comes to food or maybe electronics or other products, we're much more careful about where it comes from, or we're so concerned about the whole supply chain. It doesn't seem to be the case with apparel. I don't see a lot of people saying, hey, where is this being made, or who's making it, or what are the input costs? Some brands and retailers now are trying to be more transparent. Last month, H&M published on their website all the factories they work with. I know Levi does that. Other retailers are doing that. They do want to be transparent. Mm-hmm. And I think these are some of the checks and balances that are going to start to be put into place.
Well, certainly the notion made in Bangladesh has a different meaning today. Edward Hertzman is publisher of Sourcing Journal, an apparel industry trade publication. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking about neighbors this hour, good corporate neighbors. We're asking you about your neighbors.
My name is Roxanne, and I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina. And I do know my neighbors, and they are amazing. They have helped me with so many things. One time a toilet overflowed, and they came and helped me clean up the water, helped my children with projects. If I can't get in the house because we've lost our key, they have a key. I am very blessed with amazing neighbors.
Tell us the story of your amazing neighbors. Here's a perspective from Vancouver, Washington. My wife and I bought our first house 2 years ago. I've said hello in passing, but I'm not sure it is important to know my neighbors. What do you think? Give us your story at 877-8MYTAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.